Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 246, top of the day to you.
Oh, keeps getting closer.
So close.
We've done nothing.
No, and I predict we probably will forget to.
Now, I'll remember on the day and I'm going to get some party poppers.
I'll remember on the day and add in really cool special effects.
Done.
What more could you want for 250, of course, we're talking about episode 250.
I might wear my war paint.
What colour is your war paint?
Green, olive.
So you're going to be kind of like Arnie in Predator.
Correct.
Where I immediately thought about Aloy, and you can put whatever face paint on there, but I've gone with the Nora one, obviously, because she's from that area of whatever they call that new world, and she's blue. It's nice. Understated, not a lot of it. You don't want to cover your whole face. You just want to sort of be like, yeah, see what I've done here?
Blue's not a camouflage, is it?
No.
Not for our world.
I like it.
I really like it too.
I think it's more of a statement. Yours is a camouflage.
Well, I thought it would aid in it being a surprise party.
Oh, surprise.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Where is he?
I could be all camouflaged up and then pop out.
Very clever.
Yeah, and start the proceedings, the podcast. And everyone in the podcast wouldn't know whether I'm wearing the war paint or not.
And they wouldn't know where you are.
No. Broadcasting from undisclosed locations.
It's a secret.
Oh my God. They killed Kenny. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I have watched as much stuff as I possibly could this week because a lot of things suddenly have come out.
They really have. We're being bombarded.
It's a lot. I don't think I've watched everything, but I've watched just enough.
I know I haven't. I did watch She-Hulk.
Me too.
I've watched one of the Lord of the Rings.
Me too.
Programs. I still haven't gotten to the House of the Dragon. I will.
It's pretty. We'll talk about it, but it's pretty good.
I'm sure it is.
It almost feels back to form.
Yeah, I'm hearing very good things. I haven't been in a high fantasy week mode this week. Being comfort food.
But won't it be lovely when you are and then suddenly you've got like all these episodes.
Yeah,
you
can just be like having two movies a night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be nice. Mm-hmm. Fun fact as well?
I do.
Awesome. I got a quiz. It's very easy. Very topical too. Very topical.
I enjoy that.
But we should probably get straight into the news. I feel like I went first last week.
I think you made me go first.
Oh, okay.
I think you threw to me first last time.
All right.
I'm knocking it back to you.
Yeah. Fans are up in arms.
Who?
They're not happy, Jan.
Who?
Fans of Game of Thrones, more importantly, House of the Dragon, more importantly, Princess Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
More importantly, the actress, Millie Alcock, who is playing Princess Rhaenyra, because she, halfway through this season, is going to be removed. New cast member, new person will be playing that actress as we do a time jump.
Oh.
And fans are like, but she's the show for me. She's the reason I'm liking this show.
But, like, that's the point.
That's the point of the whole thing. But I suspect people do not know that this is a long stretch of time that we're going to be looking through in this show. It's not sort of like, okay, this is what's happening during summer and autumn as we get into the long winter. It's not that kind of thing. So the best way I can describe it is think of The Crown. Each season, different actress plays the queen because
different moment in her life.
Different eras. So we'll have, it's not just her, it's going to be a few different actors. So Alicent Hightower, she'll be changing as well because, I mean, she's supposed to be the same age anyway. They're supposed to be, I was going to say school friends, they're teenage girls. I think they're 15 in this. So okay. They'll age up along with a few others like Linnea and all those people. So don't be alarmed when it happens. Basically, the showrunners are like, no, we knew this was going to happen. We thought you knew as well because we announced who the cast was before the show started and who they would play. So it's going to happen. Maybe they'll still appear in flashbacks. I don't know. But why would you have a flashback about something that's already happened?
Do you reckon this kicked off with like three people on Twitter?
Yeah, it was all on Twitter.
Yeah. It's just a couple of idiots who didn't get it.
Stuff always happens like this on Twitter.
Twitter. Hey, well, I'm going to cheer everyone up.
Yeah, go
let's
on.
Let's not look at angry stuff.
No.
Here's something that's great.
Cool.
The Brendan Fraser Renaissance. Aww. The Renaissance, I guess. I don't know.
I like that.
It continues, which is great. I've been enjoying his work for the last few years in Doom Patrol, a TV show that I enjoy on, what's it on now, HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
He just got a six-minute standing ovation for his new film at Venice Film Festival. He's starring in Darren Aronofsky's new film, The Whale. Stars alongside Sadie Sink, who is Max on Stranger Things.
She's cool.
And he had to wear a lot of prosthetics and go through a whole thing.
Yep.
And he's playing a morbidly obese gay man who's tried to reconnect with his daughter. And, yeah, received this standing ovation there. People have been talking up this film for a little bit, and he's definitely a strong contender for that best actor award season next year.
That's crazy to think that Encino Man is now a contender for an Oscar.
George of the Jungle.
I love it. George of the Jungle, yeah. Guy from Airheads.
That's it. I think this is awesome. I am a touch nervous as to what this might mean for Doom Patrol. It's
too
already,
big.
Well, it's already very much on the knife edge anyway with the way that things are getting cancelled over at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
It's surprising. I think that and Titans are the only two DC shows that have survived. Harley Quinn lives on in the animation side.
But it could mean that they're going to fight to keep him because that's more eyeballs.
I think that's it. I think if it comes down to it, they'd cancel Titans and keep Doom Patrol because it is a big deal. You've got a couple of people on there that are good names, Timothy Dalton and Matt Bomer. And it's a critical darling show, and having one of your characters suddenly be an Oscar nominee, you know, that was the same sort of exposure that Fresh Off the Boat got when Constance Wu had great success in
Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah.
Oh, my brain skipped a beat then. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out. It may do nothing. You know, he's under contract, but he's also Brendan Fraser and has a lot of clout and this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know. Maybe he negotiates season to season or something. He actually plays a character in the show who, in the modern setting, is a robot, and he was a race car driver who was in a horrific crash, and his brain was put in this retro robot. And so most of the time, it's just Brendan Fraser voicing, so he doesn't have to be on set and stuff like that. But then they do flashback quite often to pre-accident.
Oh, so he plays the actual face of the man.
Yes. And so, you know, if he sees himself in a mirror quite often, he will see himself as Brendan Fraser and this sort of stuff.
Interesting.
They've got a few characters on the show like that. There's an invisible man as well.
Mm. Who's the invisible man?
That's Matt Bomer.
Right, okay.
Who used to be on, was it Suits? Was he on Suits?
I think so. I didn't watch Suits. No. I was one of those people that didn't watch it.
White Collar.
Oh, I haven't watched
White Collar. He was a criminal pretending to be a lawyer or something like that.
Tricky.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very funny. He plays an invisible man. When there's flashbacks to the 60s, I think it was the 60s, 50s or 60s, he was a fighter pilot when he was still human, and he plays in there as well.
And did he have a terrible crash as well, or is it different?
I won't say.
Okay, yeah, okay, cool.
No. Yes, but there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, okay. It's complicated.
Very complicated.
That's what he would write on his 2007 Facebook status.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Samantha Morton, of course, has been in a million different things, but more recently she is known as Alpha in The Walking Dead. She was the leader of the Whisperers, and she's gone on to do quite a few different interesting things since her Walking Dead thing, including being in Tales of the Walking Dead. She's in that. But
which we still don't have access to, I don't think. I think it's on AMC Plus streaming or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not signing up for that.
No, I've got too many.
Not for Tales of the Walking Dead.
No, there's too many. I can't.
That'll drop elsewhere sometime.
Yeah, of course it will. We can wait.
And we'll talk about it then.
Yeah, maybe. That's right. Well, we probably – or no, what we'll do is we'll talk about it a few months afterwards where we go, oh, sorry, I forgot to say I watched that. That's how it's going to be. But anyway, she's going to star in a Paramount Plus series called The Burning Girls, alongside a Bridgerton actress, Ruby Stokes. And it looks like if you were a Marcella fan, that English murder mystery where the main character is a real unreliable narrator, where you can't believe sure. anything she's what you're being shown because she doesn't know either. So I think this is going to be right up people's alleys who really, because that series was very popular.
Very.
And I think Samantha Morton's going to be amazing in a very similar kind of, it's going to have the same sort of vibe as that. She'll be playing a reverend though, a single parent reverend who is haunted by something that happened in her other church, and she's moved into a new town with her daughter. So I'm really intrigued to see what this is going to be. And I think if it's going to be a limited series, which it should be, I think people are going to get into it.
Yeah, sure.
Those binge-worthy shows are good.
There's a lot of pedigree there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So don't get too excited because it's only just – it's going to be ages away.
It's a while
yeah,
off.
Yeah. Just keep it in the back of your mind.
Well, I'm going to grab the wheel and swerve us into something that might be a bit sooner, but we're not sure. I don't know anything more about this other than apparently Switch Virtual Console. So, you know, Switch Virtual Console is kind of like a – it's not Game Pass, but where you can go and download games and that
yep. sort
of thing. Apparently they're going to be getting a GameCube clone type thing so
yeah,
you can
right.
play a lot of the old GameCube games. So we're going to be getting old school Zelda and Metroid and that sort of stuff. Oh.
That sounds like the kind of thing that a lot of people who were kids that enjoyed it and had that console or their friends had it are now adults who are able to afford that.
Well, that's it. There's all this crazy nostalgia for your OG NES and, yep. and your Super NES and that sort of stuff. But
it keeps moving.
That's it. The age is now getting to the point where the GameCube, that's 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
That yeah, makes a sense. But
there's also a massive thing where someone who may have had the NES – then went on to have every console mm-hmm. afterwards. Like these are people now that didn't just have the one. These are the people who have grown up always playing games. So that sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
I didn't have one, did you?
GameCube. No, yeah. My brother had a GameCube. I played it a bit. It was pretty good.
What was his favorite?
Oh,
was there a Mario Kart on that one?
I think there was. My brain is saying either Mario Kart or like Paper Mario or something
oh, okay.
like that.
Yeah,
it might have even been like a sticker Mario or something.
Mm.
Not Mario Paint.
That was a little bit later
no,
on.
No, that was earlier.
That was earlier.
That was earlier. But
oh, I'm thinking of Mario Maker. I think that's Wii U? No, I'm not sure.
Wii U. That wasn't that old.
Yeah, it's not that long ago. That sounds really cool. And that's the thing about Nintendo, because they always focus on the, not so much kids, but, you know, like family-friendly characters and games and whatnot. So you've also got nostalgia, but people who want to buy it because their kids probably will want to play it as well.
For sure.
Kind of timeless-looking art.
Pokemon's back in our house. I love it.
There's a new Pokemon?
There's new Pokemon.
There's always new Pokemon.
But there's new Pokemon game coming in November.
Okay. Will you get it?
For sure.
Fun.
I even get the remaster versions of the old ones. And I might only play it for 2 weeks or something like that, but that's enough. It scratches the itch.
Yeah, that's good. Memories. Speaking of video games, everybody in the world earlier this year, it felt like they were playing Elden Ring.
Sure, a lot of people talking about it.
Software game, Dark Souls, very difficult. People are like, oh, you should play it. Nah. I'm like, but it just looks too difficult for me. I'd rather just watch people or let you have fun. But I've also got a new way that I can now enjoy it because it is now officially manga.
Oh, there you go.
Yep, they've released a manga featuring characters such as, if you've played Elden Ring, you'll know these one, Melina.
I know Melina from Mortal Kombat.
Okay, maybe that's the same. She wouldn't be the same character. Anyway, but it follows Asea, would you say that? It follows Asea, a wretched tarnished, which is like the naked starting character from Elden Ring, as he navigates the weird and wonderful worlds of the lands between. Apparently you can get these, at least the first comic book for free.
Sure.
Online. There's a couple out there and it sounds like they're committed to telling a whole story. So that's pretty cool. Because I think a lot of people love that game.
Bloody Post Malone talks about the soundtrack a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he reckons it's pretty inspirational.
So his next album's going to feature.
His albums always sound like stuff like that anyway. But all the orchestral strings and stuff, he's not wrong. They don't. There's less huge budget orchestral scores for films now, and they get DJs to mix things and stuff, which is still really good. Music producers and stuff make great sounds. You Trent Reznor's and things like that. But, you know, the era of John Williams recording the score for every film and stuff, that's long past. So it's very cool now that so many of these games are stepping up and, you know, employing a lot of orchestral work.
And people legitimately will get onto Spotify or Apple Play or whatever and just listen to the soundtracks.
Oh, great. I can't even remember what they're called, but there's a band I like who are – I can't even say a band I like. There's a band who a few albums I have, and they are like a ska cover band who do very particular subjects, and one of them was a ska cover like a whole album of the Donkey Kong soundtrack. Another one was the Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, cool.
All this stuff. There's a real market for video game soundtracks and stuff like that. So, yeah, and I know Elden Ring always does very well in the soundtrack charts.
It's also not just Elden Ring, but, you know, those orchestral soundtracks, people really like to either work or study to them because they're designed to bring out emotions and drive and focus. Like your focus listening to this game is to beat the boss or whatever. So it's a real focus-driven music. It's amazing the way that music can do that, and it's also amazing the way that it can do it outside of its intended purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. I was speaking about House of Dragons before.
Yes.
I have to stop and think about these new names. Now I'm going to be talking about The Rings of Power.
Yes.
And the review bombing that Amazon anticipated was going to happen, particularly on Rotten Tomatoes and that kind of place. So what they did, and they tested it out first about a month ago with A League of Their Own. You know how they had the series A League of Their Own. What they did was they allowed the critics' scores up on there, held off 70 – they delayed – public's scores for 72 hours so that when it first released, you didn't have all the trolls going up there going, zero crap. And it's kind of worked but also kind of not worked. I looked at it just before and this is for the Rings of Power. It's got 84% for critics, but the review bombers have still gotten there, 39%.
Sure.
It's at 39%. I wouldn't say it's 39% bad.
No, it's not. It's no. Looks, this is high production. It's a movie. There's a lot of effort put in there.
Yep. It's just, I think it's so odd that people go, oh, here's something that's popular. It's going to come up. I'm going to try and ruin it. No. Why? Why don't you just, if just ignore it.
Just stay away. It's not for you.
Yeah. Bizarre. Have you got any other?
I've got one last one.
Perfect.
So Lego Ideas is the online platform where you as a home builder can do a mock, my own creation, upload it there, show it off to your friends and this sort of stuff. And if it gets enough community support, you can vote for ones that you would like to see turned into a real set. So if you get 10,000 votes, you go through to consideration from Lego. And for, you know, it's been running for almost 10 years now. And for quite a few years, it was three sets a year or something like that. And they would, you know, you'd only get 5 to 10 sets that actually hit that 10,000 mark. Over COVID, clearly that changed. People were home, had time to do things and like that. Anyway, the second round for consideration this year has just gone through. There were 51 up for consideration that might be turned into sets. Now, Lego is at the point now where they're putting out one every probably 6 weeks, maybe even monthly throughout the year, varying sizes and this sort of stuff. Two of the ones in this round particularly stood out and were worth us talking about here. There was lots of good ones that I enjoyed, but there's a set of Bluey and the House, and it's amazing, and it's not at minifigure scale. It's actually much larger scale, so it'd be better for little kids. Almost like Duplex? Oh, yeah, better Duplo vibe.
Duplo, sorry.
Oh.
Isn't Duplex paint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dulex is paint. Dulex is a house.
Duplo.
Yes, we got there. this one of Bluey looks great, and it's a perfect recreation of their Brisbane house.
Awesome. Stuff,
which would be very cool because
– And popular.
It'd be very popular. Yeah. There's not really ever been any sets to look specifically Australian in Lego's history, which would be very cool. And the other one that I thought was bloody awesome is someone – and it's for consideration is the Taskmaster house.
Oh, yeah.
Where they do all the stunts and do all the challenges and this sort of stuff, and it comes with various challenges to recreate and this sort of stuff. It looks very cool.
So these are – two that are
up for consideration.
I mean, up
Taskmaster, 0% chance. It's a TV show aimed at adults. They're swearing. It's never going to get through. But for The Office, which comes out next month,
mm-hmm.
This was the third time that person hit 10,000 votes. So he got 10,000 votes submitted, didn't get approved. He rebuilt it, put it up again, got 10,000 votes, went through, didn't get approved. 4 years later or something now, after COVID, after The Office being on Netflix and blowing up there, he submitted again with a new version, even more refined. That got the 10,000, got approved, and now it's through the approval process and coming out.
Because the approval process would also have to include getting licensing.
There's so much red tape. There's licensing. Yeah. Lego, if there's any violence, it can only be from fictitious characters. There's just so many different rules. It has to align with brand values, all this sort of stuff. So it's always very surprising to see the ones that do get through and the licensing deals that would have gone on for that. Quite often, they have led to bigger things down the track. So everyone got very excited when the Nintendo stuff started happening a few years ago, and sure enough, that's led to Super Mario sets and things like that, because earlier this year, we got a Sonic the Hedgehog set, and that's clearly setting things up for more Sonic stuff is coming. And it's at a different scale to Mario, and they don't work together, and they shouldn't. No,
so many rules.
It's so good.
Have you ever considered submitting one? Or are you kind of like, I don't know what I would submit?
Nah.
Is it kind of, it's almost a lot like, oh, you either want a tattoo or you don't.
Yep.
Like you've got a really good idea or you're like, I don't, there's nothing I want enough.
I'm not building stuff. The stuff that I like to build for myself is not stuff that I would see having commercial value for Lego. It's not, you know, I built a jungle scene earlier this year. I put in so many bricks on that and stuff that set, if you were to produce, would cost $700, that sort of stuff. And that's not a marketable thing because it's not a fun build experience. It's not strengthened to the way they expect. All this, so many things in there that my style isn't what they would release.
Yeah.
But I see the value of this for so many people that do. And it's not just build it, take photos and upload. There are digital building, like digital Lego building programs that people will build it because this will take 8,000 pieces and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
And then Lego takes that version and will either shrink it down or make it bigger.
Yeah.
So just this month, a motorized lighthouse has come out. It's really big and tall and has a light in the top and spins. The person that submitted in micro figure scale. So it was a tiny, tiny little thing. And they loved the idea that much and wanted to develop this new power brick. And so instead scaled it up.
You tempted?
Yes and no. It'd look really good in the window outside there. It's also going to be too tall. Mm-hmm. So part of that lighthouse
would be quite big.
It's quite big. And I got enough. I got roller coasters I'm working on.
Yeah, you're busy. You've got a backlog of Lego stuff. That's really cool. Almost as cool as a
fun fact. That was nicely done. Now, one of my things I watched this week was on Sunday, being Father's Day here, my old man came over, which was very nice, and Shay put on a movie afternoon for the two of us. We sat on the couch and had some snacks and pizza brought. It was lovely. We watched Jackass Forever, which I spoke about at length already and reviewed and stuff. Great fun time. But
did your dad love it?
He did love it.
Cool.
Even Shay loved it, except for a few bits that were a bit much. Have you seen it?
I haven't watched it yet.
It's an awful lot.
Yeah, okay.
There isn't.
I mean, I know what Jackass is. I've watched enough of Jackass to have an idea of the things that they would feature in there.
Well, here are the two fun facts that I have for you. Jason Weeman Acuna He said out of all the four Jackass movies, this one hurt the most. So
I can see that on the poster, that's actually. I mean. That's good.
So Spike Jonze got his start. Well, not his start, but, you know, some of his earliest famous work was with them and music videos and stuff. Anyway, he directed the entire opening sequence of the film. It was originally supposed to be a simple bit. Now, it's Jackass, so not to spoil it, but the film starts with people running in terror from a Godzilla-like creature, and there is a green, weird monstrosity coming through and destroying the city, and it pulls back, and Party Boy Chris Pontius, who's always naked, has his penis painted green and is being puppeted. Is being puppeted to be a Godzilla.
Of course.
So it was going to be a simple bit where Chris Pontius would perform with the penis puppet on a miniature set, but because the group ended up enlisting some of the best miniature artists and special effects people in the business, the sketch became so elaborate and looked so good that they chose to make it the movie's opening scene, and Spike Jonze directed it for them.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. That's hilarious. It's pretty amazing.
I know they're Jackass, right? Yeah. And I know that's very on brand, but can you imagine them just workshopping ideas and this idea comes up and they're like, yeah, this is amazing. It'll never get done though. But how funny is that? And then it actually does.
Well, the reason why this is so doubly on top of what you said there, not only is it a brilliant thing to do that's crazy, but each cast member that's been in before does a new plussed version of something that they'd done in one of the other movies that everyone remembers them for.
One up themselves.
So Steve-O runs in terror and dives into a portaloo that blows up into the sky. And Preston gets hit. He's the big fat guy. Yeah. He gets hit with a bigger cannonball in the gut. All right. It all goes bigger and bigger. So juxtaposing that nature of bigger, bigger with this is on a miniature set with a penis monster, it just makes your brain split of like, how is this high art and yet this?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Anyway, here's your fun fact.
It's a good fun fact. We will have a quiz a little bit later on that I'm sure I will continuously forget the names of things in. This is a little clue for you, but we'll continue with it and I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun. But why don't we just get into some watching suggestions?
Let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
We should probably talk about the Game of Thrones. No, not the game. See, I'm already doing it. The already. Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power.
Yes.
Couple of episodes came out.
Yeah, it dropped Friday evening. That's Amazon's time.
And everybody was talking about it. I've only watched one episode. You've only watched one?
I've watched most of the first one.
Okay. Yeah. They spent their money and they made it look good.
It looks like a movie.
It really does. And it's just, it's mind-blowing that I know it's subscription and you pay for it, but that we are treated to such high quality,
it's pretty crazy
looking stuff on a weekly basis now.
It's a bit slow.
Yes, but I have heard
it picks up.
Yeah, this is all the we're setting things.
Oh,
up.
I know. I understand. There's a lot of setting and there's a lot of groups of characters that we've got to be introduced to and jump between and all this sort of stuff.
But I agree with you. That first episode, I was like, oh.
I kept waiting when that elvish soldier was in the pub.
Mm-hmm.
I kept waiting for someone to slam a hand on the table. Fuck your chicken.
I was waiting for one of those long songs that Tolkien used to love to write in the books.
I do like that everything's pronounced Mordor.
Yes, so good. Yeah, there's so many. This is where I came to realize that The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, the whole Middle Earth world, or universe, I should say, is something that we all think we know really, really well. But when it gets to something like this, you think, well, I think, oh, I haven't read The Hobbit book for a long time.
Mm.
I haven't read or watched the Lord of the Rings films and books for a long time. I probably should have even just read some cliff notes just to get me up to speed with what this world is.
Yeah, but this is set so far before those. And it's not to do with any of their story and it's using bits and pieces of Silmarillion.
Yeah.
Which I haven't read since I was 15.
I've never read. I didn't know about it.
It's like a textbook.
I think it's sort of
it's meant
similar,
to be like an oral history of Middle Earth.
Which, to be honest with you, is what this House of Dragons is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like the encyclopedia history book of the Targaryens.
Sure.
So we've got that going on. But and same with the Game of Thrones, they both rely on you to know and have watched
the other one.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, look, it's Galadriel.
You're like, oh, who's – I actually Googled. I'm like, that has to be Cate Blanchett, right? And I looked it up. Yes. Yes, it is, but I forgot. I kind of think now maybe I should have done a little bit of study. I don't think I could have watched all of the films, but maybe just
– Well, you've got 48 more episodes to watch the rest of before.
Great. Okay.
They're not all dropping at once. Could you imagine if they did that?
Goodness.
Here you go. Here's 50 hours of content. Don't die.
Yep. Yeah, look, I think from what I've heard, the second episode's still a little setting up, slow going, but I think the third episode, if it's anything like other series, that's when things are really going to kick off.
I'm definitely giving it the benefit of the doubt.
Me too.
When I say slow, I don't mean slow as in, oh, this is a troll.
Yeah, I'm not going to give it a go.
I just mean slow as in it's world building. And
yeah.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
How beautiful does it look, though? It
looks very nice. Well done, New Zealand.
Yeah. They do good, eh?
Hey.
Hey. What else have you been watching?
I'll be honest, I was a little bit laid up during the week, and instead of watching highfalutin fancy production stuff that I should have been, I watched an awful lot of Taskmaster.
This is your show at the moment.
It is, but there's seasons that I missed, and 10 episodes, hour episodes, you know, you don't get through that too quick.
Yeah.
But it's just been a nice comfortable blanket. A few seasons that I missed during COVID period.
Oh, yeah, right.
So it was interesting watching them do one season that was right in the middle of COVID and how they adapted, and then the season after when no one gives a shit about COVID anymore. That you get occasional people in the background that might have a mask on, but no one involved in production and this sort of stuff. So
it really sounds like you're talking about Below Deck.
Yeah,
exact same thing.
It's going to be like that for – we're just going to have this weird reminder of this phase for years.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, totally. And all the different phases within the phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I've been watching. I haven't gotten to the end because I knew that the season finale was released of The Resort, which screens here in Australia and in Australia on Stan. I love how I finish that sentence without giving any of the information.
Okay.
It's so cool.
Yeah,
the trailer for
that was great. I haven't gotten around to it yet. I was going to bank that and watch it in a go. Feels like a bit of a go watch.
It's a go watch, and there are so many people in it that you're like, I really loved you from all of the things. Like, I mean, first off, you've got William Jackson Harper, aka Chidi from Your Place. You've got Nick Offerman is in there. I mean, I could just read the whole cast, and you would know them.
Is it Christina or Christian?
Kristen Milotti? Milotti?
Yeah.
Milotti?
Who's from Palm Springs.
And wasn't she the mother in How I Met Your Mother?
Yep, in the last season.
Skylar Gizondo was in The Quarry and he was
and
in...
And he's in Booksmart.
Booksmart. He was also
in... He must
in
be saved at all costs. He's precious, that one.
He is phenomenal.
He's so good. Is he good in The Quarry? Of course he's good in The Quarry.
Yeah, he's good in The Quarry. Well,
but is he good?
No, he's good.
He's not.
No, he's good. He's good. He's good. I'm just trying to remember what happened to my version of him. Okay. He's good. He's good. But did you ever see the latest National Lampoon's movie?
No, but
so
I'm
he's rusty in that. Very funny.
Awesome.
Yeah, so he's doing a great job. A few people that I haven't seen before, but the majority of the cast are people that you know. Like, do you remember that show? Was it called High Maintenance with Ben Sinclair? He played a he was a pot seller.
Yeah,
in New York.
Rode the bike.
Rode the bike everywhere. Yeah. So he's in it as well, and he is very good.
Awesome.
Yeah, different character, but very, very good. I would recommend 100%. Even though I haven't gotten to the final episode, it's already doing all the twists and turns and you think it's going to be something and then it ends up being something else and you're like, I don't care what this is. I'm just enjoying it. Very good show. And, yes, Kristen and William are just Do you reckon he's a Will? I reckon he's a Will.
I think to friends he's a Will. He'd be a Will. He's not a Bill. No. Not a Billy.
And not a William.
No.
So William's very formal.
Showing, shibby, and somebody stop me. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, I know I've mentioned it in the past, but I've finally gotten around to starting to watch a British sitcom from a couple of years ago that I think is still open-ended. They haven't officially wrapped it up, called Stathletts Flat, which is a mouthful.
It's about flats, like council flats?
So Stath is the main character, and his name is Jamie. What's Natasha from What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah. Is she in it?
Yes, it's her and her brother.
Oh, my God.
Her and her brother, like, what's this called? I need to create the show together.
I'm going to write this down right now.
Stathletts Flat.
Yes.
So Stath, he's they're Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Their
mm-hmm.
dad runs a council, like, well, an apartment letting company.
I know this guy. He was in Fleabag.
Yes, he's in Fleabag, and he was in the After Party, that Apple show that I loved.
Yeah, right. So he was in that.
This is his brainchild, and Natasha got her first big exposure from this, but she's done other shows and all this stuff.
I can't believe they're brother and sisters. This blew my mind.
I know. So this is what I mean. I've been sitting on this waiting for the right time of when I was in the mood to watch it. It is fucking cringe and great. The poor guy can't string a sentence together. So he's just the worst person to be showing you around home and trying to convince you of things.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to watch this. And it's really good.
It's great. So there's been three seasons. It won a lot of awards. And everyone involved in it is we'll take our time with it. This is not one we need mm-hmm. to pump out. Everyone can be busy doing other jobs. Let's get back together as appropriate.
So exciting. It's on.
Yeah, I've only watched the first couple of episodes. It's on HBO Max is where I've grabbed it.
Okay, yeah, right.
I'm sure here in Australia you'd find it on a Stan.
I've just done a quick Google, BritBox, Google Play, Apple TV.
Yep.
So you've got three options. Damn, that means I'm going to have to buy one of those. I'll just rent it off Apple.
It's six episode seasons, and I'm sure
it'd be worth it.
What I've seen so far, you'll love it. And Natasha's character is very different.
Of course she is.
But like.
Oh, really sort of placid, like timid?
No, not timid. Maybe a touch simple.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Just
so he's the brains behind the operation.
He thinks.
Yeah.
He's not at all. He's fucking hopeless. It's really good. It's a very different vibe to The Office, but it's that sort of mockumentary yep. sort of thing. And yeah, anyway, give it a go.
And the English do those so well. So good. So well. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to watch. Yeah, that's the thing that you can watch all in one day. And I probably will. Far out. All right.
I'm happy that was a good pull.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Oh, the problem with getting recommendations from each other means you can't talk about it because you've already spoken about it. Poor us.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Look, I did quickly mention Below Deck. We're doing Mediterranean at the moment. So Captain Sandy is back and the best bit about Captain Sandy is she likes to get a little too involved. Just be a bit micromanagey. No, everybody loves that. That's just everyone's favourite thing. Where Captain Lee will just let you fail and then say, we're going to let you go. Captain Sandy's going to get too involved. Like she's been known to go up to a chef and try and tell them what and how to cook. It's really good. And yachting chefs are temperamental, or at least the ones that they hire for the show. I just love this show. You can just sit there and watch an episode or two and just be like, all of these people are just exactly what I want to watch on television right now. They're either the best or the worst or somewhere in between. That's my comfort. You've got Taskmaster. I've got Below Deck, Mediterranean. So I'm sure there'll be other ones coming out very soon, but this is the one that's probably about halfway through.
Nice.
Would you like to jump into a quiz?
Oh, please. I've got my quiz pants on.
Yes, you do. And this quiz, shock, 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 is about Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. I've found characters' names from both of them. You may or may not remember the characters. I didn't.
All right.
And you got to tell me which universe they come from. So
all
not,
right.
not which movie, which TV series, just
all right. I got reckon I can, I reckon I can have a crack.
Poppy Proudfellow.
I'm instantly regretting my confidence. That's got to be some sort of hobbit.
Yep. Yep. From Rings of Power. I think it's the hobbit girl in
all right.
Rings of Power that we're watching right now. Robette. So not Robert.
Mm-hmm.
R-O-B-E-T-T.
Mm.
Glover. Glover. Well, that's ambiguous, isn't it?
That's painful and convoluted. So I think that might be Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Correct.
I think I've got the hang of how this quiz will go.
Yep. Alistair Thorne.
Ooh.
Or I should say Alistair Thorne. Just take the T out and it's an exotic name. Alistair Thorne.
Alistair.
That's right. Hello, I'm Alistair.
I'm going to go with Lord of the Rings.
It's Game of Thrones.
Oh.
I decided to keep a little bit of info just in case you or somebody that I can't hear is shouting at me right now
yes.
saying, well, who? Master of Arms at Castle Black, a warrior charged with training the Watcher's recruits.
Mm.
So there you go. Bit of a Targaryen loyalist, apparently. So we would have seen him in the series. I can't remember because there's 4,000 characters.
Was that Ed Sheeran?
No, it wasn't Ed Sheeran. Did he have a name? That was the one bit where everyone went, oh, that shouldn't have happened, but you did it anyway. Turin Turambar. Turin Turambar. T-U-R-I-N, Turambar.
I'm going to again lean towards Lord of the Rings.
This is from Middle Earth.
There you go.
He was a man of the first age of Middle Earth. There's a whole thing about him. Apparently it's a real Tolkien character that was...
He did things.
Yep. Yep, he did.
Did he wear shoes?
Probably, because he was a man.
Okay, probably
so not a
wore
hobbit.
Shoes, yeah.
Yeah. Men like wearing shoes.
They do.
Big shoe fans. Mm. I always say that. Tom Bombadil. So not you, because that's not your last name.
I'd be very disappointed with myself if I get this one wrong. Tom Bombadil is from Lord of the Rings.
Yep. Fellowship of the Rings, mm-hmm. in fact. Yep. Very famous.
Good guy.
Good guy. Meryn Trant. Meryn Trant. T-R-A-N-T.
I feel like this one's got to be a Game of Thrones world.
Absolutely. So Meryn Trant was a member of the Knight's Guard under King Robert Baratheon.
Oh, there
King
you go.
Joffrey Baratheon, but everybody calls him Lannister.
Mm.
Or Brat King, if we all go back in time to our own nicknames.
The Red-Faced King.
That's right.
On purple. Blue.
That was a nice look, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Very good.
I saw a photo of him recently getting married.
Really?
Yeah, don't do no acting anymore.
He went to uni, I think,
yeah.
didn't he?
Yeah, he was like, this thing's not for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Everyone's given me an awful time for a few years. It's probably going to hang around the rest of my life. So he's a very scruffy looking dude now.
Cool. I might have to have a
Google. Buried under a lot of hair.
Oh, okay. He was Irish, if I remember correctly.
To be sure.
You did brilliantly with that. I think you only
got five.
Yeah, you only missed one.
Good quiz.
It's fun, right? Because they're all literally made up names.
All just made up names.
Mm.
Mm. Brandies and Bofors and...
And Proudfellows. Poppies. Poppy Proudfellow. Poppy Proudfellow could also be a character on a, you know, those like get very young ABC kids.
Oh, fuck yeah. She's the second character on Gabby's Dollhouse or something.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Or a Polly Pocket.
Oh, Polly Pocket, geez. Are they still a thing?
They are.
popular or?
Yeah,
it
comes in and out.
Okay, fantastic. Well, on that note, thank you very much.
I don't think he knows about second breakfast.